Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Welcome to the Business Builder Show. I'm Marty Wolf, and along with my sidekick, Mr. Kerry Carney, we are your hosts for the Business Builder Show. Hello, Kerry.
Hello, Marty.
And our producer, Mr. Tom Jenkins, is also with us today. Thank goodness. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Marty.
Another member of our team, Dr. Tony Massari, will be offering his comments later in the show. This show is for entrepreneurs, small business people, and professionals who seek excellence. We offer tips to help you build your business on the topics of technology, innovation, finance, leadership, personal development, and sales and marketing. Our special guest today has a great first name. His name is
Tom.
Marty Grunder. Well, Tom is a great first name, but it is Marty Grunder who is our guest today. Marty Grunder is a successful entrepreneur. He is the CEO of Grunder Landscaping in Dayton, Ohio. He was with us before, and I simply love the way Marty communicates with entrepreneurs and small business owners. So when he told me he read a book that had an impact on how he ran his business and helped him become successful, I had to read the book, and I had to have Marty back on the show to share the lessons that he learned from the book. So Kerry and Tom, to help us bring even more value to this discussion we're going to have with Marty, I found an article. Guess what? That's what I do, right? I research this stuff, right?
Curate.
That's right. I do the curation. You do, too. You bring some good stuff all the time, Kerry.
We're supposed to bring good content.
And we do. We found an article that will help us absorb Marty Grunder's message and the book, and help us absorb not only the message, but the book we'll be discussing. So the article that I saw, this should get our attention, How to Boost Your Effectiveness by 400%. After we discuss the article and we have our discussion with Marty Grunder, we will wrap up the show by introducing some concepts I think have real value for all of us. The wrap-up will be talking about The Talent Code. This is a book, Kerry, that we've both read. The Talent Code. Greatness isn't born, it's grown. Here's how. Fascinating. Found it fascinating. So we're going to start with How to Boost Your Effectiveness by 400%. And this is an article written by Minda Zetlin, Z-E-T-L-I-N, from Inc. magazine. And it starts off by saying, viewing the year as 12 weeks rather than 12 months can make you four times as efficient. Well, I guess that's the start of the 400%. Look at things quarterly, Kerry. I like this. So the author of the points that we're going to talk about is a gentleman by the name of Brian Moran, and he wrote a book. I guess it's a book, The 12-Week Year. And here's what he does. He suggests that we think of not the long term. We kind of break it down into quarters, because what happens if we think in a year? What would sometimes happen, Kerry? Would we maybe put things off until later in the year before we really got into it?
Well, our prioritization gets really jumbled.
Mm.
And by that I mean we put off what we think we were going to accomplish for a future date, but we also allow things to kind of blindside us.
Yeah.
Non-important things now take an importance that throws us off our game plan.
Yes. So he suggests, and I love this thought, and we share this with our clients, if you embrace 12 weeks as a year, it changes your thinking. So, Kerry, to dovetail on what you said, it creates a healthy sense of urgency. So here's some ideas that he brings to us, and he says, first thing he says is begin with the vision, and it's kind of like if you don't know where you're going, you won't know
if you get there.
If you're going to get there. But here's an important part. He says he talks to business owners about a life vision, not just a business vision. He makes a great point, because life and your life is part of your business. So,
and he puts a time frame on it, too. He says, what do you want your life to look like in 3 years?
You need a compelling vision for what you want it to look like those few years out. If you don't think about that, you might get too comfortable. And he suggests that's why some companies go out of business. Have that longer-term vision. Next suggestion, create a plan. Here he's again, we're talking about focusing down your goals. You get the vision and focusing down your goals into 12 weeks. And he also makes, here's a thought that I strongly agree with, that so many of these plans have 72 bullet points in them. You can't possibly do 72 things in 12 weeks.
So, which is the beauty of this, that you're looking out 3-5 years. So much can happen in 3 to 5 years. His plan or the tactic he wants to come up with has a limited amount of bullet points like you're talking about. That you're going to work through, accomplish, move on to the next one in kind of a high-speed fashion.
Right. So have a plan, and it should be written, by the way. He doesn't clearly say that. It should be written. It should be shared with your team. Number three, in terms of how to get effectiveness in your 12 weeks as opposed to an annualized plan, he says is set your process. Set your process. Allow me to read this first sentence since I love it so much.
It's great.
He says, Mike Tyson famously said, quote, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
That's powerful.
That kind of brings you clarity. And what he means is that, you know, you're rolling along and you have this plan, and then guess what? Stuff happens, right? That's why you have to have a plan. You got to have the process. Something has to be written down.
And if we can go back to the plan, he talks about in two. Let's be great in a few things, and build a tactical plan with the critical few tasks in it. Don't make this lofty strategy that'll never get done.
Next point: get some metrics. He simply means measure everything. But there's an important part here. If you want to increase sales, that's fine, but that's kind of a lagging thing. What he suggests is create metrics on things that you can control. Are you doing what you said you would do? That you can control. You can increase sales 50% in a month, possibly. You can't, usually.
One of his observations was get the appointments made. Really crushed the sales funnel.
Right.
And then that will take care of the sales when they close in the future.
You can measure that. So
right.
Focus on metrics. Measure everything. Focus on metrics. Point number five from Brian Moran is take control of your time. And we often say when we work and we work and we work and we work, instead of catching our breath, getting away from email, getting away from everything, and taking time to think. I always suggest this, especially in sales organizations. Take time to think. Get away from the office. Get away from all that hubbub. So this were some lessons on how to boost your effectiveness by 400% by Minda Zetlin from Inc. Magazine. Carrie, we just got segment one wrapped up. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Business Builders Show.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show. Our special guest today is Marty Grunder. Marty, welcome back to the Business Builders Show.
Well, thank you, Marty. It's always a pleasure to be with you and your team on the Business Builder Show.
And it's a repeat performance, so I'm really thrilled to have you back.
I'm thrilled to be back. Thank you.
Marty Grunder is a successful entrepreneur, professional speaker, business consultant, and author. His book is The 9 Super Simple Steps to Entrepreneurial Success. Marty continues to serve as the CEO of Grunder Landscaping in Dayton, Ohio. However, he loves to work with other CEOs and business leaders to help them drive results. Marty, that's what we're going to be talking about today, how to drive results in your organization. So once again, welcome to the Business Builder Show, Marty.
Thank you, sir.
A couple of months ago, Marty, you recommended a book called The Pumpkin Plan. And yeah, that got my attention just by the name, and I almost thought you were joking initially, because I didn't hear about it. But you told me you recommended the book, and I got it, I read it, and you said it offered some pretty cool insights that you used in your business. Kind of set this discussion up by, you read it, you know, and you had some thoughts. Share some of them with us.
Well, it's funny. As a business author, and I'm working, I have a second book that will be published hopefully sometime in the next year, and I'm working on a third one that I think is pretty tremendous. We'll leave that for another show, maybe tease the listeners. But
okay,
when I picked up the book The Pumpkin Plan, because I had read Michael Makowicz's first book, The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, it was recommended in these accountability groups that I run. We let the members pick a book that we're going to read.
I see.
And they picked The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, which was Mike's first book, and we enjoyed it. And then since I subscribed to his emails or something, I saw something about The Pumpkin Plan, and I read the review on it. I'm like, that's interesting. You know, I'm a landscaper. It's pumpkins. Okay, let's see what it is.
Okay, yeah.
And I got the book, Marty, and I couldn't put the damn thing down. There were two thoughts that came. Number one, I was jealous that I didn't think that the simple brilliance the author followed to put this book together. The book is based on the concept of how you grow a champion pumpkin. And the way that you grow a champion pumpkin is really the same way that I've grown Grunder Landscaping and the way that I teach other entrepreneurs to grow their businesses, and that is you can't be everything to all people. You have to focus your efforts on your ideal client.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, who is your ideal client and how do we define them? Makowicz, in the book, talks about the concept of growing a champion pumpkin, and it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. You know, and the way I kind of summed it up, because I struggle with pumpkins and business, so I kind of like thought, well, okay, great pumpkins come from the right seeds, then you aggressively prune the vines, so
exactly,
only the biggest and best will grow, and then you nurture the heck out of those select few pumpkins that you expect to be great pumpkins.
Did
that make sense?
It does. And as I read the book, I'm like, you know, son of a gun, why didn't I think of this?
Yeah.
It's a great analogy, and it makes teaching this concept to entrepreneurs easy, and it's sound logic. But those things are counterintuitive, Marty, as we well know.
Yes.
What gets entrepreneurs to a certain level of business, and for landscapers, we find that's about the $1 million a year revenue level,
mm-hmm,
is saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
What gets them to $2 million is saying no. So if you're growing your garden and your kid went out and said, hey, you know, I read how you grow pumpkins and I'm going to pull all these other pumpkins off the vine, I think most parents would be like, stop, Jimmy,
yes,
don't, those
right,
are all good. Don't
right,
get rid of those.
Right.
No, I read
right,
you have to,
yeah,
put all the energy towards one.
Yes.
That's not a natural, I don't think that's something that people would grasp right away. I think they'd say, why would you want to get rid of some good pumpkins? Well, because this one on the end, this client, has the best opportunity to go someplace, and I can't be everything to all people, so I'm going to devote all my time, money, and efforts towards this ideal client and run with that.
Well, let's go. Actually, I looked at the summary. I read the book, like I mentioned, and I had a summary of it, and I thought, well, this can create a good context for us to follow in terms of, again, communicating the message between the pumpkin plan and real business, like we've started to go down that road. But step one in this summary says, identify and leverage your biggest natural strengths.
Yep.
Let's talk about that one. Your biggest natural strengths.
For a lot of business owners, Marty, we say yes all the time because we're looking at our bank account or we look at our backlog or we have employees standing around not serving people, whatever the case may be. And you have to leverage all of your assets towards where do you get the biggest bang for your buck? Where does your competitive advantage stand out in the marketplace?
Mm-hmm.
For my company, you'll never see my trucks working in front of a Walmart because that's low bid work. Anybody can do that. Walmart is more concerned about who can plow the snow and who can do the landscaping for the cheapest price. They're not concerned about who can do the best job and who can make the shopping center stand tall. So for entrepreneurs, who is your ideal client? Where can you leverage your competitive advantage? What do you do better than most other offerings in your marketplace, and how can you leverage that accordingly?
Marty, I got a little hung up on this step one in terms of it said natural strengths. I mean, how do we determine what our natural strengths are? What does that mean? Let's have that conversation.
Yeah.
I mean,
To me, natural strengths means what makes you whistle while you work. What comes easy to you? Where are you smiling? We developed a whole client experience funnel as a result of reading the Pumpkin Plan, and number one on the funnel that we run our clients through is, do we enjoy working with them? You know, things that come to you naturally are things that you become really good at because you enjoy them. I'm naturally good at speaking because I enjoy speaking. I'm naturally good at gardening. I enjoy gardening. We all have those things, and I think he's right on that. You got to find your sweet spot there.
Natural strengths. Tell your story briefly, because we want to get into detail, but your story, your natural strength, you started your business, you started doing what you do now when you were 16, am I right?
Well, I started, for all intents and purposes, yes, 16, I'm almost 46. It's our 30th year in business, and I started out mowing lawns. That's all we did, mowing lawns and printing bushes into cartoon characters and all kinds of other terrible stuff.
Right.
Gradually through the years, we got better and better at what we did. I grew up on a small farm, so I was around equipment. I was around growing things, and it turned it into Dayton, Ohio's and one of the Midwest's most successful landscaping companies.
There you go. And we all study this. Natural strengths are something that maybe initially didn't start out that way, but you got into that, you liked that, and you got stronger and smarter and more, you just got better at it, and that became just natural for you. So that's a good lesson in terms of step one. Step two, in terms of the Pumpkin Plan, the summary says, sell, sell, sell. That should be self-explanatory, but who do we sell to? I guess that's the question.
You know? And that's the thing with the Pumpkin Plan. You sell to the people that look the most like the people you're having success selling to right now. And that's the key, because we cannot be everything to all people. We can't do that. And that's, you know, it's like I tell my clients, the prettiest Ferrari ain't going anywhere without any gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
So gas is to a car what sales are to a company, but it's got to be the right kind of gasoline. You put diesel in your Ferrari and it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the sales have to be, you've got to sell like a banshee, but again, to the people that look like the people you've had success with in the past.
And this selling is going to be a lot of things. For instance, you simply talk to people. You call people. You
yes.
network. You blog. You do social
yes.
media. Right, Marty? I mean, there's not one track for the sales effort either, correct?
It's make friends, make sales, Marty. It's relationship selling. People buy from people they know, like, and trust. You have to work to get to know them. You have to work to get them to like you, and for you to like them, that's important. And then trust comes from that. It's a very simple process, but it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes. Yes, and kind of circle back is that when a lot of people start in business, they think the world wants everything that they have. And what we're saying is, nope, that's not really true.
No.
You really need to figure that out. And the other part of that is, when you figure that out, will your energy level go up? Will you be more excited about selling? Will you communicate better? Does that happen?
Yes, it does.
It does.
I mean, those are all natural byproducts of finding your sweet spot and working with the people that matter most.
Yes. We're going to be taking a short break in a few seconds, Marty. But when we come back, it says here step three is, as your business grows, fire all your small-time rotten clients. Tough language. And that kind of sets up where we're going to be going next. So you are listening to the Business Builder Show with our special guest, Marty Grunder. We'll be right back.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. Our special guest is Marty Grunder. And Marty, I want to make sure, we'll mention at the end, but how do people get in touch with you?
Probably the easiest way, Marty, is just go to my website, which is real simple, martygrunder.com, MartyGrunder. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
Yes, you are, and you have a great first name, too. I want to make a comment on that.
I would agree with that, and I'd share the same with you.
There you go. Okay, where we left off was we talked about as your business grows, fire all your small-time rotten clients. I love the clarity of that. Go a little deeper on that in your viewpoint, Marty.
I think that's the hardest thing for an entrepreneur to do, Marty, is to tell someone, and they could be rotten for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons could be they're just not profitable. Maybe they're sweet people and you enjoy them, but you're not making any money. And, you know, look, we're not the Salvation Army. We can't help people. You know, you help the Salvation Army with the profits you make in your business.
You can't be
a nonprofit organization and succeed. That doesn't work.
Yes.
Hardest thing we find for entrepreneurs trying to grow their company is when they do an analysis, they see where they're not making money, they see where they're not doing business with people that will lead to more business, where they don't enjoy the type of work, is telling those people to go away.
Mm.
But inevitably, when we get them to do that, it clears that space up to be backfilled with good paying clients doing the kind of work that energizes you and getting back to step number one here in the pumpkin plan, which is your natural strength.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the thought of the vine, the pumpkins on the vine, pruning them. I like that analogy. You know, you have a bunch of pumpkins there, but you got to prune back. You got to get rid of the ones that are weak so that the giant ones can come through, and that would be your best clients. So
that's correct.
I love that. I love the analogies that he uses. Step four. Distractions. Probably the biggest one is email today, but don't let that latest thing, the silver bullet, you know, distract you. And do you see that in when you're talking to other entrepreneurs, or did you see that in your own business? Were you distracted?
My answer to this, Marty, is squirrel. People chasing squirrels, like my poor dog Rudy chases a squirrel all over the yard. He never catches the poor thing. He just wears himself out. Entrepreneurs do the same thing.
Yes, we do.
We are constantly chasing squirrels.
Yeah, that's great.
And the dilemma becomes the strengths that give the entrepreneur creativity can also be a weakness if it's not managed properly. And that's why these distractions, when your vision, Marty, is so clear of what you're trying to do, when the mission to achieve that vision is so crystal clear, and the core values, the behaviors that need to be present to make that company work, when all that is there, distractions become pretty easy to ignore because you're able to run it through a funnel and say, that doesn't help me exceed client expectations, which is in our mission statement. I'm not going there. That's the key, is to have a vision, a mission, and core values that are so clear to you and everyone in your company that these distractions don't come into your life.
A lot of people think this mission statement stuff is a lot of hooey. I've heard that, but they're wrong. You're right, Marty.
They're dead wrong with that. I could not disagree with anyone that says that more. If that was the logic, there wouldn't be a Super Bowl. If that was the logic, we wouldn't talk about profit. I mean, there has to be some type of a definition of what a win looks like.
Yes.
And that is rooted in a vision that is backed up by a mission statement. That's a fact.
Yes.
I disagree with proponents that say mission statements are you know, worthless. They're worthless if they're just words on a piece of paper
and we
don't believe them, eat, drink, sleep, and work them 24/7.
And you'll eat, sleep, and drink, and work hard on 24/7. But that doesn't necessarily mean, too, this is where the distractions come in. You don't, well, maybe initially you're working 16, 18 hours a day, but, you know, I've seen a lot of people fall into this trap, too. Well, I work 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, I say you're crazy. Something's wrong here. You know, and that's usually distractions, Marty, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And there are so many distractions today. There's more distractions today, Marty, because of the internet and all the technology than there was when I got the business started. I think most entrepreneurs have ADD, so I'm probably lucky that I started my business in 1984 as a way to make money for college and not in 2004. There's just a lot of distractions that, you know, again, you got to crystallize that vision and mission so that these things that come into your world, you're able to run them through a funnel or a filter, if you will, and say, that's not helping me achieve my vision or mission. I'm not going there.
So now we've got them. We've pruned the vine, if you will, to use that. And we've identified the best clients, best customers, whatever you call them. Now what we should do? Love them like crazy, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
You get back to old-fashioned selling. You talk to them. You go see them. You come up with a plan of communication. You ask them how they want to be communicated to with you. You ask them how often would they like to hear from you. You pay attention to them. You nurture them. And you do everything you can to make sure they're happy. Now, it doesn't mean you necessarily give them a discount or you do this. Mm. It just means that, in my opinion, Marty, and this isn't what Macklewood says in the book per se, but in my opinion, you treat them like you would treat your best friend. If you're always taking your best friend out to lunch and you're always paying, that's probably not your best friend. I mean, there has to be give and take on both sides. And at our company, again, we run them through a filter and we say, do we enjoy working with them? Are we making money off them? And is this work leading to more work, either via referrals, or are we doing the type of work for this client that someone else is going to notice and say, hey, I've got to have that. That's where we find our passion in our work. And it's as simple as that.
It is simple, not necessarily easy, right?
Right.
But
right.
That is, you look at it that way, and you do focus on landscapers, although you are doing business consulting with all kinds of small business owners and operators.
Oh, yes, sir. Yep. Business is business. You
business
know
is business.
Yep.
And with that being said, give me some ideas. Like, we'll use landscapers. Do you have some suggestions in addition to what you specifically do to really nurture those clients?
You know, I think most of it is about having a relationship with them. It's taken the time to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing them by your actions. You know, we can show our love for our clients. We can show our relationships a multitude of ways, Marty. I think the best way is how fast do you get back to them when they call you?
Mm.
Are you proactive or reactive? Are you in the firefighting department or the fire prevention department? You know, your clients are expecting you to take care of something, and they're expecting you to have a higher level of attention to detail to it than they do.
Yes.
You know, if we have our landscape clients calling us to say, hey, you know, there's weeds around my back patio, I mean, we're the professionals. We ought to see this stuff before they do. So
yes.
It is all about getting in your client's shoes and saying, I wonder what they would want, and then have conversations with them to validate that what you think they want is actually what they want. That's a key component of this.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the dialogue, if you don't do surveys, if you don't do face-to-face, if you're not a good communicator, if you don't read nonverbal body language well, I mean, there's all kinds of things that go into this that can make you a very successful entrepreneur, and you can learn how to do that better.
Yes, you can. And it's coming to be proactive. Identify problems before the client or the customer even knows they're coming. So
that's right.
Be really aggressive in building that relationship in so many different ways. So we're running down with time, Marty. Again, your website, tell us your website.
It's www.martygrunder, MartyGrunder.com. And I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.
Marty, you're the best. I really enjoyed being with you. Some wonderful information shared with our audience of entrepreneurs and small business owners. So thanks again so much for being on the Business Builder Show.
I appreciate everything you do, and I will do this for you anytime you want. Thank you.
Take care of yourself, man. Bye-bye.
Bye, Marty.
Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Tom, let's go to our commentary by Dr. Tony Massari.
Hi, I'm Tony Massari with a thought about success. There is something both interesting and inspirational about Marty Grunder. Not only is he an American success story, he is an apostle for those who want to become a success themselves. During his conversation with Marty about the Pumpkin Plan, he offered some practical thoughts about building a successful business. No one is capable of being everything to everyone. Successful people focus on the ideal client. They are selective. They learn to say no. They are analytical. They are good at self-assessment. This enables them to know what they do well and why they enjoy doing it. They learn how to market their strengths. They are relationship builders, and they honor Grunder's dictum. People buy from people they know, like, and trust. They are long-distance runners. They know the journey to success takes hard work, patience, time, talent, relationships, and resilience. Successful people learn how to eliminate distractions so they can stay focused on the vision and the mission. They understand the importance of the human connection. They make time to talk with people, and they treat people the way they treat their best friend. Successful people have a very high level of attention to detail. That gives them a great competitive advantage. Two of Marty Grunder's most important rules can be summarized with these words of wisdom. The key to failure is to try to please everyone. Bill Cosby. Half of the trouble of this life can be traced to saying yes too quickly and not saying no soon enough. Josh Billings. For Marty Wolf and the Business Builder Show, I'm Tony Massari with America at its Best.
Welcome back, and thank you, Tony Massari, for another great commentary. Folks, no, I mean Tom and Carrie, because I'm looking at you two. I say the name, I'm going to give you some names.
Okay.
Peyton Manning. You have a vision in your head? Peyton Manning. Okay. You know who he is.
Sure.
I got to throw out another name. Alan Mulally. I think I'm saying that right. Now, some people listening may know that name. Some may not.
Mm-mm.
I'll explain. CEO of Ford. Anyone paying attention to business today knows that Ford is very successful. How about Tiger Woods?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Know that name for sure.
There's an easy one. How about Richard Branson?
Absolutely.
Who's he, Carrie?
Started Virgin Records and has become a wildly successful entrepreneur.
These people, well, here's another question. Are these people in the news all the time?
Not all the time. Yeah, pretty regularly. Pretty regularly.
They are in the news a lot.
A lot, yes.
And what happens is media looks at these people and say, wow, you know, there's Peyton Manning doing this or the CEO of Ford doing this, and they're saying, what a great thing. And sometimes us mere mortals, we may think, well, boy, they're great, and I wish I was that person. What sometimes gets ignored is what it took to get there.
They were born that way.
Is that a segue?
The rub.
Is that a segue? They weren't. There's not one singular thing that happens. There's a bunch of things. So they got there, and so many other people that we can think about. You think of great people. They got there. Here's the question. Where does this extraordinary talent come from? How does it grow? How do they get great? How do we get great at something? How do we develop our craft? And I'm referring now, we're going to use a book called The Talent Code. Subtitle is Greatness Isn't Born, It's Grown. Here's How, by a gentleman named Daniel Coyle. Great book. We read it a few years ago. I think it's 2009. Great book. The answer to how people come great, there's a little bit of a story that Daniel Coyle tells in his book, and he talks about a young lady named Clarissa who was learning to play the clarinet. And interesting that there's two psychologists who are tracking her progress, somebody named McPherson and Renwick, and they're tracking her progress, learning the clarinet for several years, kind of a study. Now, what Daniel Coyle says is that in the book that Clarissa did not have any special talents. She wasn't considered a musical genius. She was an average IQ. Everything was pretty average.
Maybe even below average because her motivation was subpar.
I think she said even, Carrie, that, you know, why did she practice? Because she had to, because she was supposed to.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here they are tracking her progress. And then one morning, here's what they found. In 5 minutes and 54 seconds, Clarissa accelerated her learning speed by 10 times, according to McPherson's calculations, and she didn't even notice. Now, what happened? What happened to get this in place? She had recognized a song by
Woody Herman.
Woody Herman played the clarinet excellently, by the way, of course, and she liked the song. So let me read to make sure that I get this exactly clear. She's now being recorded practicing the clarinet. It goes on to say, Clarissa draws a breath and plays two notes. Then she stops. She pulls the clarinet from her lips and stares at the paper. Her eyes narrow. She plays seven notes, the song's opening phrase. She misses the last note and immediately stops. fairly jerking the clarinet from her lips. She squints again at the music and sings the phrase softly to herself. She starts over and plays the riff from the beginning, making it a few notes further into the song this time, missing the last note, backtracking, patching in the fix. The opening is beginning to snap together. The notes have verb and feeling. When she's finished with this phrase, she stops again for 6 long seconds, seeming to replay it in her mind. Fingering the clarinet as she thinks, she leans forward, takes a breath, and starts again. Now, this doesn't sound good, Tom and Carrie. It actually sounds pretty bad. It's a slow motion of a batch of notes, and the average person would say, this is not going well.
She's failing.
Yeah, this is not going well. What these psychologists say is, no, wait a minute.
You're dead wrong.
This is amazing stuff, they say. This is how a professional musician would practice on Wednesday for a Saturday performance. Clarissa is practicing the way a professional musician would practice on a Wednesday for a Saturday performance. Now, what's the gig here? What are we seeing? What's the gig? Why? What's special about this? Well, here's what the psychologists say. And I want to connect this to our world of work, to what you're doing, to whether you're a plumber, an electrical contractor, or a CEO of a company. I want you thinking in this context. And here's what they say about Clarissa. She's got a blueprint in her mind she's constantly comparing herself to. She's working in phrases, complete thoughts. She's not ignoring errors. She's hearing them. She's not ignoring errors. She's hearing them and fixing them. She's working repeatedly. She's refining. She's practicing. She's making mistakes. She's going back to the beginning. She's failing fast, like we often say, Carrie.
It's an error-focused process.
It's an error-focused process. So that's the lesson in this book, The Talent Code. Greatness isn't born. It's grown. Here's how. Deep practice. Repeating something. Recognizing that you made a mistake, going back, failing fast in business, you're developing your craft, which is not going to happen the first time you throw a football, the first time that you want to be a great producer like Tom Jenkins, the first time that you, I don't know if
go
I consider our
call.
Craft, but failing fast. So that's the thought process. We're going to carry this on in the next show, Carrie. So thank you for being part of the Business Builder Show. We appreciate you taking time to be with us. Carrie and Tom, as always, thanks for your help and support here in the studio, and Dr. Tony Massari for another great commentary. Next week, we will be going a little deeper, as I mentioned, into The Talent Code, the book we started to discuss today, and we are going to introduce some ideas from another book, and the subtitle of this other book is, listen up, Why Skills Trump Passion. In the quest for work you love. This book shook some of my beliefs. I'm confident you will be challenged by this book, so don't miss this one. You want to listen more carefully to the topics we covered today? Go to businessbuildersglobal.com. We do our best on the Business Builder Show so you can do your best. Be sure to sign up to get updates from us when you visit businessbuildersglobal.com. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolff.